we're doing the Sefer HaMidot, and the Magen Midumna had been expanding on the word V'yashar, that we say every morning, Emet V'yatziv V'nachon V'yashar, that the Torah is Yashar, and he said there are a few different angles in which the Torah is straight. So he said that the first point is that the Torah doesn't contradict logic. The Torah works within a logical system. And he continues and says on the top of page Kuf Beis, Vidan, I want you to know, ki gam achukim, even the statutes that we don't have a logical understanding of, we don't know why we eat kosher, we don't know why we don't eat meat and milk. There are many things we don't understand. Why can't we wear a garment that has wool and linen mixed in? You know, Hugo Boss, is that hotshot company that every suit is like $800, $1,000. Many of their suits have inside the lapel linen. Their wool suits have linen inside. Their chatanis. You got to get you got to change the lapel if you want to wear a suit like that. You take it to the laboratory, they'll check it for you. Why? Who cares? Does God care if you wear wool and linen together? Yeah, the Torah says you can't wear chatanis. Why? That's a statute. We don't know why. But even those statutes, kulam im bnuim al hasechel, nonetheless, they're built on logic. How so? Kmo parah aduma. Let's take the law of the red heifer. That's the classical case of a chok, a statute. Vizulata, and the other statutes, gam ki hi atzmai lechok. Even though the essence, you ask me, why do you do a red heifer? I don't know how it works. I don't know how the red heifer purifies one, defiles the other. I don't know how that works. Aval min ha'shor shitzvi anafim rabim, but nonetheless, although I don't understand the mitzvah, I don't understand the chok, but from the root, there are many branches, kulam sichliim. They all work in a logical fashion, meaning we do have a system. I don't understand why God gave me this mitzvah, but the system is still a logical system, umishpatim yesharim, and you have laws that are straight that work around the chok. Kasher tireh pratei ilchoteim, masechet miyuchedet lichlala upratea. As you'll see, when you learn the details of the laws of Parah Aduma, we have a whole tractate. We don't just say, oh, it's beyond us. We don't understand it. So, oh, well, fine. Leave it at that. No, we have all the details which we do understand. There's a root, there's a point which we don't understand. But the rest of the system we do. And how indicative of this concept is the words of the prophet Isaiah, Kirvu elai shimu zot lo mirosh baseter dibarti. The prophet says, come close, hear this, because initially I did not speak in clandestine, I did not speak in hidden form. Lemor gam ki haTorah arukah me'eretz midah, meaning even though the Torah is beyond measurement, kolelet migleveni stal, the Torah encompasses what is revealed, and then there are things that are hidden, things that are beyond our perception. Im kol ze, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo etchil banistarot. When God started off giving us the Torah, He didn't start off with the things that are beyond our perception, the things that are concealed from us, kim badvarim haniglim lein kol, but rather with the things that are revealed to all. Kemamar, as the verse says, ki chochmatchem uvinatchem leinei amim. The Torah is your wisdom, it is your understanding in the eyes of the nation, the nations. As the verse says, "Anistarot l'Hashem Elokeinu," the things that are hidden, okay, leave that to God. "Vaniglot," but that which is revealed, "Lanu ulvaninu adolam nasot et kol divrei Torah azot," to perform the words of the Torah, the revealed parts of the Torah is our responsibility. Ki chen derech bnei adam, v'valem orech v'yomar lehem ki ugadol b'Torah, because that's how it goes. If a guy comes, a guest, and he tells them he's a giant in Torah, v'yovel liot lehem l'rav u'moreh. And he wants to be their rabbi. He wants to be their teacher. So he'll go into the academy, and he'll go into the Beis Medrash. He'll give a whole drush on Kabbalistic things that no one understands. They'll tell me, you know what? Kabbalah, you could say whatever you want. We don't know. You know, you talk to me about what I don't know, so I can say whatever I want. You don't know, you don't know. So what do we say? Hey, if you're a candidate for being a rabbi, tell us about the things we do know. Let's ask you, what do you do when meat and milk mixes like this? What happens when on Shabbos you suddenly discover that you left the light on in your fridge? Let's ask you a bunch of questions on what we could verify if you know what you're talking about. As yuchlu la'aminu al hanistar. Then if we verify that you really know what you're talking about, we'll believe you on the things that we don't know anything about. So that when Hashem started off the Torah, He said, let me work with you on the things you you understand the mitzvot. Let me work with you on things that are not hidden. And even though there are mitzvot where the root of the mitzvah we don't understand, even there Hashem said, I'm giving you a system that is straight, a system that is logical. In general, the Torah does not contradict our logic. There are mitzvot which, although they are not contradictory to our logic, they are beyond our logic. Even there Hashem says, I'm giving you a logical system to work with those mitzvot. It's not just, this is what I said, this is how it goes. No, the mitzvah falls within the system. We still apply the 13 laws of derivation. We still apply the laws of logic to working out all the details of that law. You'll ask me at the root of it, at the heart of it, why do we eat kosher? I don't know. I don't know. It's a statute. God said so. So I don't understand every mitzvah. And nonetheless, there's a lot of logic that I do understand with regard to the mitzvah. When it comes to the details of the mitzvah, you ask me, can I eat a cheeseburger sandwich? And I'll say, generally not. Is there a way that you could? Yeah, there are ways in which halachically, there are ways of making halachically not fleshic animal. And you can, there is a way of producing an animal that is halachically not fleshic, or milk that is halachically not milchic. Right? You can make soy milk, you can make what? There are ways of doing it, halachically. Okay, so that's point number one about the Torah's straightness.
What do you mean, like
soy milk? There are other ways, but it's too long for now. Shenit, the second point in the Torah being straight, Yoreh Ma'amal V'Yashar, when we say the Torah is straight, that's indicating a second point too. Lemor as follows, Gam ki rabu kmo rabu rabim chikri lev b'chol pinot ha'olam, ze batzafon ze badarom, ve'endat kol achat shaveh, kmo she'en partzufeim shaveh. Although you have a lot of people, and everyone has a different approach to life, you know, we have a halacha that says that technically, biblically, a man could marry more than one wife. In the period of Rabbeinu Gershom, there was a rabbi named Rabbeinu Gershom, and he made a ban on marrying more than one wife. What happens if a person's wife, God forbid, goes insane? He cannot divorce her. She doesn't have the knowledge to accept a divorce contract. What's he supposed to do? So Rabbeinu Gershom made a clause. He said, although I'm making a ban on marrying a second wife, there can be instances where the rabbis should permit a person to marry a second wife. And then in those instances, in order to obtain that heter, that permissiveness, the document must be signed by 100 rabbis. And those 100 rabbis, you need to have at least a representation from 3 different countries. Why did he say that? The idea is, you shouldn't be quick to annul this clause, right? There's a ban. The Jewish people accept it in general. The Ashkenazi community is accepted. We don't marry two wives. You want to say that this is a circumstance which warrants allowing the man to marry a second wife? Okay, let's see if 100 rabbis agree with you. You'll say, okay, I got 100 rabbis. Rabbeinu Gershom said, no. You know, the attitude that they have in France to marriage is different than the attitude they have in Italy, which is different than the attitude they have in Israel, which is different than the attitude they have in America. We all have different approaches to things, and even though they're all halachic, at the end of the day, when you say this is not livable, you know, the husband, you can't blame him. He has to get this heter. You got to give him this permission. Rabbeinu Gershom said, I want it from 3 different countries. 100 rabbis from 3 different countries, and that's what we do today. There are instances where we do a heter me'er rabbanim, but we'll only do it in accordance with this clause. So the Magen Midubna says, really, there are different attitudes. You go to different places in the world, people view things differently. And no two people view things the same way. It's not only a factor of different countries and different continents. It's also any two people who grew up in the same home, in the same continent, in the same everything. They're still going to view things differently. In kol ze nonetheless, einecha rot ki yisharim darchei Hashem bechol mekomot moshvotehim. You find that when it comes to the Torah, that's a constant. A Jew in France keeps Shabbos the same way a Jew in the United States, the same way a Jew in Israel. Am echad, we are one nation. Torah achat, we have one law. Ve'lo timtza shnei svarim o shnei chachamim sheyu muchlakim b'flukta rechoka. You don't find two rabbis having far out machlokes. You find on nuances. Very often we get caught up on those nuances. People sometimes tell me, how do you decide the whole Torah is on two different planets? It's not on two different planets. 99% we agree on. There are nuances. If you really analyze how much we all agree on and how much we differ on, because we're so similar, so then the differences all stand out. Okay, big difference. Do you wear a black hat or a blue hat or no hat? Big deal. That's a big deal. It's not a big deal. What are we talking about? Do I say that you're allowed to put only dry food on the plat on Shabbos, or can I put a soup that was pre-cooked on the plat? Big difference. We all agree you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. We all agree you're not allowed to turn on a fire. The question is, do I say that rabbinically the rabbis didn't want you to take a liquid and put it on? If you think about it, you see that 99% everyone agrees. You have a nuance where, okay, there's a difference. We have this custom, they have that custom. Okay, fine. You won't find a far-out difference. You won't find one rabbi saying, yeah, you could turn on the plata, just go boil your food on Shabbos. Another rabbi says, no, you can't. You know, that's a biblical prohibition. You don't find such machloksin. You don't find such differences. Kasher katav Rambam Zal, as Maimonides already wrote, lo timtza molam shnei dot al pri etz adam mai. You don't find two opinions what an esrog is. We all agree what an esrog is. So you have the Yemenite esrog and the Sephardi esrog and the Moroccan esrog, but we all agree what species it is. No one walked in and said, an esrog is an apple. You don't have such a thing. No one walked in and said, this lemon, that's an esrog. An orange is a kosher esrog. You don't find such a machlokas. Throughout the Shas, everyone agrees. The differences are kim banfan afim, in the branches of the branches of the branches. That when you come to a detail at the end of the line, you say, okay, now does it exactly fit to this branch or to that branch? But on the roots of things and on the major branches of things, everyone agrees. It's when you get down to the nitty gritty, so okay, then there's a difference. Exactly where, which part of the tree does this fit to? But when it comes to the main points, the roots, the general points, the details, what a Jew is supposed to love, what a Jew is supposed to hate, everyone agrees. The guy in the north is a mitzvah to love his fellow man, to love his wife, to love his kids, to love the ger. Yeah, the guy in the south has the same mitzvahs. And when the guy in the north pole, the Jew in the north pole says it's a terrible thing to steal, it's a terrible thing to cheat, it's a terrible thing to lie, so does the Jew in the south pole. There's no difference. We have the same moral system. You want the general rule? Every Jew hates that which is evil and loves that which is good. That's the general rule. Okay, the details, you'll look, you'll see we also, we're on the root, on the main branches, we're all the same. Now you come out and you say, okay, when I love good, does that mean I should vote liberal or conservative? Okay, you know, it's a question, what's best for the world today? Do I approve Sharia law because I say that's called being a liberal? Or do I say no? Being a good person is saying there's a limit to how liberal I'm going to be. At some point, you got to stand up for people's rights and not just respect the right to be different. Okay, it's a question on a nuance. But you ask me, what does a Jew do in his own home? You ask me how I should lead my life? I know what it means to be a good person. I know what the Torah wants of me. You ask me, okay, now on a far out question, should I dedicate money to the Red Cross or should I not? Okay, you know what? You understand that that's an outgrowth of a whole philosophy. It's a final branch. Good question. It's a good question. Fine. Yes, no. Whatever you say, I'll respect. It's within the confines of the direction. The major branches we understand. So he says that's the second point, that you see the straightness of the Torah. That Am Yisrael has a straight path and we're all going down that path. You'll see nuances? Yeah, you'll see nuances of difference. That's fine. Those are the shades of color that we the Jewish people have. That's fine. We're not all supposed to go down the same path. If we can add to his words, the Gra writes that you find in Mishlei, often King Solomon speaks about the paths a Jewish people goes on. The paths that the Torah gives us. Notice it's not just one path. I always said I went to yeshiva called Sha'arei Torah, the gates of Torah. It's not just Sha'ar HaTorah, the one gate to Torah. No, there are Sha'arei, there are many, many gates. The Torah gives us many paths, as the Gra writes in Mishlei. It's not that every Jew is going to put the same stress as his neighbor. We have different talents, we have different strengths, and therefore we view things differently. That's fine, that's part of the color of the Jewish people, and you see it in Yaakov Avinu's blessing. Every tribe had a different blessing. You know, there are 12 gates in heaven, 13, but 12 for each tribe, and then one that encompasses everyone. Every tribe has their way of praying. The fact that we have different nuscha'ot are derivatives of that. Back in the day, we didn't all say the exact same Shmoneh Esrei because we're not all exactly alike. And no two people have the same job in this world. We all have our way of serving Hashem. So, okay, so there are also nuances in how things play themselves out. That's because we're human beings and that's the way it should be. So that's the second point. He says that the term v'yashal connotes the straightness of the Torah, that all of the Jewish people, one nation, one Torah, we all go down one major path. And the differences between us are slight nuances, but the path in general is a unified straight path.